From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's program, we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from Numbers chapter 14 and verse 11. How long will it be ere they believe me? Strive with all diligence to keep out that monster unbelief. It so dishonors Christ that he will withdraw his visible presence if we insult him by indulging it. It is true it is a weed, the seeds of which we can never entirely extract from the soil. But we must aim at its root with zeal and perseverance. Among hateful things, it is the most to be abhorred. Its injurious nature is so venomous that he that exercises it and he upon whom it is exercised are both hurt thereby. In thy case, O believer, it is most wicked, for the mercies of thy Lord in the past increase thy guilt in doubting him now. When you distrust the Lord Jesus, he may well cry out, Behold, I am pressed under you, as a cart is pressed that is full of sheaves. This is crowning his head with thorns of the sharpest kind. It is very cruel for a well-beloved wife to mistrust a kind and faithful husband. The sin is needless, foolish, and unwarranted. Jesus has never given the slightest ground for suspicion, and it is hard to be doubted by those to whom our conduct is uniformly affectionate and true. Jesus is the Son of the Highest, and has unbounded wealth. It is shameful to doubt omnipotence and distrust all sufficiency. The cattle on a thousand hills will suffice for our most hungry feeding, and the granaries of heaven are not likely to be emptied by our eating. If Christ were only a cistern, we might soon exhaust his fullness. But who can drain a fountain? Myriads of spirits have drawn their supplies from him, and not one of them has murmured at the scantiness of his resources. Away, then, with this lying traitor of unbelief, for his only errand is to cut the bonds of communion and make us mourn an absent Savior. Bunyan tells us that unbelief has as many lives as a cat. If so, let us kill one life now and continue the work till the whole nine are gone. Down with thee, thou traitor! My heart abhors thee.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking. When darkness fails his lovely face, I
This day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions, the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. As he continues this series on the law of God, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Law in the Life of the Believer. The text is found in James 1, verse 25. The relationship of God's law to Christians has been and continues to be a subject of great controversy. On the one hand, there are the legalists, who believe that one can obtain acceptance with God only by keeping the Ten Commandments, which is nothing less than salvation by works. On the other hand, there are the antinomians, who insist that the law of God has no place in the lives of believers in Christ. In other words, they boast that they can live as they please, because they're not under the law, but under grace. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will explain the Bible's teaching and show that Christians are called to continual obedience to God's law, and through that, to blessing and liberty. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue The Law in the Life of the Believer.
We live in a day when man can glibly say that they're not too bad. Why? Because the pulpit has suddenly gone silent on the holiness of God. The terrible, awful holiness of God. That holiness that is so bright that it eclipses the noonday sun. That holiness that is so blinding that the very angels of heaven cover their face and they cry, "Holy, holy, holy." Let a sinner get but a glimpse of the holiness of God, and he will never again glibly say, "I am okay and I am working my way to heaven." No, the Lord Jesus was saying, "See your sin. See your inability to fulfill the holy law of God. For unless you have a holiness and a righteousness from the moment of your conception till the moment of your death, unless you have a righteousness and a holiness that is equal to that of the purest archangel in heaven, you will never get to glory by keeping the law." And of course, since we're born in sin and we live in sin, the feeble attempts of unsaved men to keep the law can never, never, never justify their souls. The Word of God uses the law to let men see their need. And when they understand their need, sinners condemned, unclean, with God's broken law holding the sword of eternal judgment and the fires of eternal hell over their soul, they will then be driven to seek God's answer where God has revealed it, namely in the person and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There is a door that is open where you may go in. It's at Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. In Romans chapter 3, this is how Paul expounds the way to heaven. Follow it carefully, starting at verse 19. This is Paul's inspired statement on the way to heaven. "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, since the law condemns all the world as guilty by the deeds of the law," that is, by doing the law, "there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." What is he saying? He's saying the law will show you your sin. It will never save you from your sin. "But now the righteousness of God." This is the phrase that Martin Luther, the Augustinian monk, so labored over in his cell in the monastery. The righteousness of God, it terrified him. It seemed to dangle his soul over the lake of fire. He trembled at the righteousness of God. He hated that thought. He hated the God who was righteous because the righteousness of God condemned the sin of Martin Luther. And then God revealed to him very clearly, this is one of the most beautiful and loving phrases in all the Bible, for the righteousness of God is the righteousness which God has provided for sinners, and that He gives to them freely. And so read on, the righteousness of God without the law, that is, without our keeping the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation or a sacrifice to atone for sin and put away the wrath of God through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness. What is that declaration? Look at verse 26. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just or righteous and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Can I say to you, my friend, that's how you become a Christian? You're a sinner. If you try to work your way to heaven, you'll work your way to hell. If you try to pay your passage to glory, you'll earn your passage to the lake of fire. Now, I'm being very blunt. I'm not here to butter you up. I'm here to stand before you in the light of the fact that one day soon we will both stand before God. You cannot work your way to glory. You try it and you'll work your way to perdition. But when you see yourself a sinner, condemned, unclean, under the wrath of the holiness and righteousness of God, and God points you to a place called Calvary, to a person called Jesus Christ, His Son, in whom the law of God is perfectly fulfilled, in whose blood the sentence of the law has been perfectly paid. By faith in Jesus Christ, you enter into life. God says, I'll forgive your sin. I will put to your account the immaculate righteousness of Christ. You will stand before me invested with all the merit of the perfect life and the perfect death of Jesus Christ. I will give you everything that His righteousness has deserved, just as I have given Him in the punishment of Calvary, everything that your sin has deserved. God made Him to be sin for us. Why? In order that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. What must I do to be saved? Not try your best to keep the Ten Commandments, but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you tonight, are you going to heaven? Let me ask you honestly, if God were to cut you off in the seat where you're sitting now, would your soul fly to heaven or sink to hell? One or the other. One or the other. How is it with you? Where would you be in eternity? How are you seeking to get to heaven? You're working your way there, paying your way there, praying your way there. Man, you can't be saved by keeping the law or doing your best. Salvation is God's free gift, received by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. I invite you to Christ tonight. Don't leave this meeting without coming unto Jesus. For He says, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. There is no other way. So you can't become a Christian by keeping the law. But let me make this point. When you do become a Christian by faith in Christ, it continues to be your duty to keep God's law. Now that's clear from what we read in James 1:25. That's very clear there. And many other scriptures confirm it. Go right back to when God gave the Ten Commandments. How did he preface them? In Exodus chapter 20, the opening verses, God spake all these words, saying. And I want you to understand, this was one of the most outstanding events in the history of the world. I used to think that God simply took Moses up into the mountain and that with his own finger he wrote the Ten Commandments on stone. Well, he did that. But that overlooks, if that's all you understand, that overlooks one of the most stupendous happenings in the history of the world. As Israel gathered round Mount Sinai, and the mount was all aflame with the glory of the Lord, God actually spoke these words from heaven. So the children of Israel heard with their own ears the voice of God saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. And then giving the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. What a day that was. Not much wonder the people trembled and quaked. Not much wonder they feared God on that occasion. God spoke from heaven. I cannot remember any other occasion in the Word of God when a gathered company like this heard the very voice of God from heaven, not just thundering with a great noise, but enunciating the very words of the Ten Commandments. And how did he say it? In addressing them, before he said, these are the Ten Commandments, he said, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. I have redeemed you, therefore, keep my law. The New Testament goes even further than that. The New Testament makes the keeping of the law the mark of true believers. We are saved by faith, but James continually tells us the faith that saves actually works. It produces fruit. How do you know that it's real faith? Well, it actually produces something. John tells us in 1 John 2, verse 3 and 4, hereby we do know that we know him. How do you know you're saved? Go to most professing Christians in Greenville tonight and they'll tell you, I know I'm saved because when I was 5 years old I made a decision. At least my granny told me that, or my pastor told me that. I can remember nothing about it and there's not a thing in my life to witness to it ever since, but I must be saved because they tell me I walked the aisle. God help you, man, if you think you're going to heaven and that's all you have to depend on, somebody's word. Then other people will tell you, well, I must be saved because I remember putting my hand up in a meeting and I had a funny feeling. I know many people have had many funny feelings. Doesn't say they're going to heaven. Some of you can remember an experience. I wouldn't for a moment downplay or deny the reality of an experience of a soul with God. But listen, I don't care what you felt. I don't care what elation there was in your soul. I don't care what spine-tingling feelings you had. This is what the Holy Ghost says. Here is how we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. The man who is walking in deliberate disobedience to the known will and commandment of God has robbed himself of the very basis of Christian assurance. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. That's what the Holy Ghost says. He that saith, I know him, but he lives a life of disregard of the law of God, the Holy Spirit says that man is a liar. And worse still, the truth is not in him. And since Jesus says, I am the truth, he's saying he is without Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.